Please stand if able and join me in the call for worship. To those who sit in darkness, light has dawned. God is indeed our light and our salvation.
We will follow, unafraid, where God and Jesus lead us.
Let us worship our God of light and promise.
Let us join our hearts together in the prayer of confession. God of our light and our salvation, we hear Jesus' voice calling us to walk with him, but we confess sometimes we prefer to live in darkness, embracing the safety and anonymity of the shadows. Sometimes we delight in our divisions, believing we are better than others. Help us remember Jesus' compassion and unselfish love for all. The light of God falls on us in the silence and when we cry aloud. We have nothing to fear. Know that this God of light wraps us in comforting arms, lifts us from the darkness of our guilt and sin, and forgives us once and for all. We will dwell in safety in God's house now and forevermore. Why don't you guys come on down over here, and all of the children are welcome to come up at this time. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for being here today. It was a miracle that we all got to church today, wasn't it? What was going on outside? Who knows? What was it? Really foggy. It looks like the void. Ooh, that's ominous. Kind of did. What was it? A big cloud that came. That's right. Sometimes my girls ask, when can we touch the clouds? And it's on a day like today. You can just go outside and put your hands out and you're touching the clouds. It can make it really difficult to see, though, doesn't it? It's all dark and dreary. And in this season here at church, we talk a lot about light. And the big fancy church word we use for that is epiphany, right? Ever heard that before? Yes. Maybe you heard it if you were here on Epiphany Sunday, when the wise men followed the light of the star that was shining. But we keep remembering, not just on that one day, but all of the days where God's light shines in our lives. And on days like today, where there's fog and darkness, we need a little extra help and some extra lights to help shine through. And I loved that song that you guys sang today about shining and the love and compassion that we can show to one another. So I have a reminder that will help us be the light of God's love that shines in the world. And it might even help on a day like today when there's so much fog. This might look familiar. Do these look familiar? Yes? If you were here on Christmas Eve, you got one of these, didn't you? Well, I'm so glad that we have quite a few left over. So even if you already have one, you get two as a reminder that God's love keeps shining in our lives. So can we pray together? Dear God, thank you for shining your light in this world now and always. Amen. All right. They say Christmas, but you know what? You can take that off if you'd like. And be the light that shines today. Okay, thank you.
The first reading of the word comes from the book of Matthew. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across from the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who have sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadows of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called to them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people.
Thank you.
Our second reading of the word today comes from the prophet Isaiah. But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the lands beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. When the school year draws to a close, the youth and advisors of Gates Presbyterian Church gather for a year-end picnic. As you look around, you'll notice probably that we're missing quite a few of them today. The senior high advisors and youth are on their retreat, and we pray for their safe journey back home. But at the end of the year, a tradition ensues, one perhaps lacking a bit of the pomp and circumstances of, say, a presidential inauguration. There, I said it. I know you were wondering if I was going to mention it. Don't worry, we'll come back to that in a moment. In case you have not been to one before, these year-end picnics, the GPC youth, the graduating seniors receive a copy of the book, Oh, the Places You'll Go, by Dr. Seuss. The book is signed by many of the people who have nurtured their faith journey along the way. This is a wonderful book that reminds its readers that life will take you many places. Down the street, out of town, or on your way up to join the high flyers, where there will be bumps and slumps, weird, wild space, and even the most useless place. Oh, the places you'll go. And with this book in hand as a reminder, our young people take that next step to the places that they'll go. Like college, or a first apartment and job, maybe a friend's couch or their parents' basement, wherever the place may be, there are places they will go. And when we look back on the places we go in our lives, they are more than just simple locations on a map. Right? These places, they bring back memories. They set in motion a future. Some are so important to us that we have difficulty getting them out of our system. And whenever we go back to those places, our muscle memory just takes over. And it really feels like we've never left. And then there are those places that we can't get away from soon enough. So when our gospel lesson from Matthew this morning tells us that Jesus left Nazareth and goes to make home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, we need to pause for just a moment and pay attention to these places. Even if I had a map to show you where these nondescript places might be, it actually wouldn't even be that helpful. Because we would need to reach deeper, farther into time, when maps only existed rudimentarily carved into stone. We need to reach back into time and hear the word of the prophet Isaiah to learn more about such a place where the two northern tribes of Israel lived under the oppression of foreign occupation. But roughly for your imaginations, this place exists, as you can imagine, in the Middle East, along the Sea of Galilee. I hear it's actually quite beautiful. Lush green trees, deep blue water, perfect for fishing. I look forward to seeing this place myself in May when I travel to Israel. But looks can be deceiving. Even the most beautiful places can live in the darkness of suffering. From the time of the prophet Isaiah, the lands of Zebulun and Naphtali were a place where the people walked in the land of deep darkness. These lands have endured centuries of occupation and oppression by empires such as the Amorites and the Moabites, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, just to name a few. And in Jesus' time, it was no different. The shadow of exile and exploitation goes by the name of Rome, and the suffering remains. So this mere mention of a place brings recognition to the hearts and ears of the first listeners of Matthew's gospel. These places would have signaled what Vietnam and Rwanda and Aleppo communicate in our hearts, the hellishness of war and darkness engulfing those who live in its aftermath. Now, we who are often numbed by the daily media reports on the plight of people who walk in thick darkness of hunger and injustice, crime, disease, and war, must remember that it is in such a place where Jesus chooses to go, the place where he begins his ministry. Which is remarkable, really, when we think about all the places he could have gone. He could have gone back to Egypt, where he was safe, secure, with his parents after fleeing the place of his birth in Bethlehem. He could have gone to Rome to assume power as the political king of Israel. Right? He could have called on the name of God to protect his people, fulfilling the expectation that he would become the next King David. He could have gone to Jerusalem, the seat of religious power. He could reclaim the role of the religious community as a place of influence. But these are not the places Jesus goes to call his first disciples and to begin ministry. We followed him from last week at the baptism in the River Jordan to this unspecified place in the wilderness, and now to here, the place where he makes his home and preaches and calls those first disciples from the sea. Here in this place, Jesus shows us what the kingdom of God is all about. And those first disciples, they are not among the wealthy and powerful, but they are those who bear the brunt of imperial greed on their very bodies as they try to make ends meet for their families. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. So just mentioning this very place, Matthew's audience knows that in Jesus, God is up to what God does best, making good on God's promises to God's people. The places where Jesus goes matters. And this is the place where Jesus goes to embody the reign of God. From the time of the prophet Isaiah to Jesus' time and to now, a place where there is a rod of oppression, exploitation of the poor, and rule of fear. This is the place where we join God in shining a light on a vision of the world that calls us to new ways of living. This weekend, we heard from various people about their ideas of what it means to shine in the places we go as an example for others to follow. Some of us may have listened to the 45th President of the United States talk in his inaugural speech about the kind of place he envisions our nation will go under his administration, a place that will be strong and wealthy, proud, safe, and great. Some of us chose to go to places where we could rally or march and raise our voices in support of a nation and world that recognizes and affirms the rights of women, LGBT persons, black and brown persons, poor people, people of all faiths or no faith. These were historic events in the life of our nation. And despite their monumental differences, I believe that this weekend, these places, challenge us with a common question. Where are the places we will go from here? So this morning, you all woke up and, despite the fog, chose to come to Gates Presbyterian Church. Thank you. Now, some religious leaders have described a church like ours, one that is very politically diverse, as a purple church. I personally don't like that term, because it assumes that we are willing to let the current political climate of red and blue frame the kind of theological place we will be. Now, I hope you didn't get up this morning to come to this place to be defined by a color scheme, but by the ways that we shine as the light on God's values of unconditional love and compassion, radical inclusion, unlimited forgiveness, healing and grace, peace available to everyone equally. GPC, the places we go from here must reflect a light that radiates God's redemptive and life-giving purposes for all the world. So that means that the places we go are the places like Jesus went, to the places of darkness, of suffering, where there is exploitation of power and people and the rule of fear, casting shadows of death. And we're already doing that. It's amazing. Every time we go out and serve at the Bridge Home, St. Joseph's House of Hospitality at Salem, whenever we care for the sick, the dying, the grieving,
Whenever we pick up hammers for Habitat or on work projects, when we build relationships with our brothers and sisters in Jamaica and Guatemala. But now, more than ever, we as a church in a very specific place here in Gates must remain committed to making this a place where people go and see God's values reflected here. So where are the places we are willing to go to make that happen? Are we willing to go into those uncomfortable places where we explore deeper the divisions that are happening in our nation and what the gospel has to say about those? Not to let the rhetoric cause further divide, but to be committed to following Jesus to see where he will take us. Are we willing to leave behind blame and fear and apathy for the places that God will call us? These aren't questions I can answer for us. Not at least in one sermon, not in one day or even one month. It takes the ongoing commitment of each and every one of us gathered here in this place. Because when we do, GPC, oh, the places we will go. We gather in this place and we share together those prayers of joy, the prayers of concern, and everything that's in between that is resting on our hearts. If you'd like to say a prayer aloud, just flag down an usherer with a hand, and please make sure that microphone is close so that we're able to hear and share in the prayer together.
Good morning, Jim Madaw. I received the call this morning from Wendell Burtner, who had taken a fall last night. But the good news is he's home from the hospital, and so your prayers would be appreciated. Thank you.
Prayers for Wendell Burtner, who took a fall yesterday.
Diane Keeling, I ask for continued prayers for both of my parents, but predominantly my dad. He was in last week with kidney stones, has an intestinal infection. They're just not doing well, and I ask God for prayers that I can continue to do this physically, emotionally. But good news, they celebrate their 63rd wedding anniversary tomorrow, so we're happy about that.
Prayers of joy for their many years together, and prayers for you and both of them and their continuing health concerns.
Whit Beckett. Dick Howell has appendicitis. He is in strong. They did remove his appendix, but it burst before they got it out. So it looks like he's in for a long recovery. Prayers for him.
Prayers for Dick and for Carol as well.
You just said it, so I'm following up on it. Anything in between?
Anything in between, Frona. God can handle it.
Can you?
That is always a question.
At your last, you're saying we're going far in church, which is very encouraging because I think it's pretty good now. But just think, somebody told me this morning, today is hug a day. If the whole world could put away those guns and give God's hugs out, what a fabulous future our kids would have. And I just kind of felt that way today. Thank you.
Amen, Frona. From your lips to God's ears.
Kay Harder. I just wanted to have prayer said for all the people that were involved in tornadoes last night, especially in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, where I have family. The college that was closed there, William Carey College, was one that my aunt worked at for over 30, 40 years. I will be talking to my cousin hopefully later today and get a hold of her, but evidently, there was great devastation in the South yesterday, so please, prayers for them.
Prayers and the rescue, the recovery efforts, and rebuilding one day for those affected by the tornadoes in the South. And friends, no matter where we come from our political affiliations, we do offer prayers for our new president, for the upcoming administration, for our nation, and for the world. And we also offer prayers from our children this morning, prayers of joy of a great junior choir singing their praises to God, prayers for joys of birthday parties for a great grandpa's 99th birthday, and prayers for a friend whose dog died this week. Let us continue to lift our hearts in prayer. Bless your people, O God of light and glory. Bless your people across land and sea from north to south with your healing and peace. No matter the names and nationalities and races and religions by which we call ourselves, we are yours. Work out a reconciliation among us that extends to the heavens and draws together all creation. We pray for those in anguish whose hearts are broken and weary with weeping. We pray for those overwhelmed by despair, struggling for hope and desperate for life. We pray for shelter to those who need a hiding place and relief to those who are weighed down by burdens. We pray for our brothers and sisters sitting beside us in this place, in the pews, to our right, to our left, in front of us and behind us. And we pray for our brothers and sisters in Gates, in Rochester and around the world. With the strength of your rock beneath our feet and the joy of your call giving wings to our spirits, we set our faces to follow you through all of life. Make us foolish for you and for the work of the cross. We pray in the name of our light and salvation, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now we offer our hearts, our time, our gifts in joyful celebration of the abundance that God has shared with each of us. Let us receive this morning's offering. Dear God, what can we offer in thanksgiving for the gift of light and life and love we have received from you and from your beloved community here on earth? We offer our all, our resources and energy, time and our very selves, to answer your call to follow without fear, now and always. Amen.
Thank you.
TPC, oh, the places we will go. But we can only go because we have the love of God surrounding us, the grace of Jesus Christ in each and every one of us, and the courage of the Holy Spirit it takes to get up and do it again each and every day. Alleluia. Amen.